amen. I was enjoying that so much, I was ready to hear him say, let's praise the one who paid my debt. How many glad he paid your debt? I tell you what, he paid a debt that we couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. We owed a debt we couldn't pay. But thank God that we have a Savior who paid the price for us. Aren't you glad about it? All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, for your grace. We thank you for your mighty power and love in our lives. And Father, where would we be had you not sent the Lord Jesus on that mission from heaven, that mission of redemption? Where would we be had the Lord Jesus not accomplished your plan? Oh, where would we be had you not raised him from the dead through the power of the Holy Ghost? Tonight, we're thankful that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells on the inside of us. And we're so glad about that, Father God. As we approach the word tonight, we're mindful, Father, and ask you to bless our pastors, continue to strengthen them, bless them, equip them, anoint, protect them. Father, give them everything that they need. You've given us the best pastors on the planet. We thank you for Pastor Mrs. Hagen. Father, we ask you to, these are your people. These are your sheep. This is your pasture. Feed your people. Give us unction. Give us utterance. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin tonight with just a short video. I think it's only 13 seconds. You're going to have to watch it close. It's a 10K race. It's the very end of the race. It just happened. Actual race, July the 4th. And I think they were in Chicago. I'll verify that. But this 10K race took place in Atlanta. I'm sorry, I said Chicago. In Atlanta. And an American, Ben Payne, he's leading the race and he's got it all wrapped up and something devastating happens. You'll see him coming to the finish line on the left there. So could we show that?
My man Ben Payne, and followed by Scott Overall from Great Britain. And boy, you talk about
Great Britain is going fast. He can
quit
catch
looking,
him.
Quit looking. Run.
Oh,
who was it?
That's the video. You know what happened there? Ben Payne's leading the race. He's right there at the end, and I don't know if you could see him clear, but he's pointing to the sky, and he starts celebrating. And what happened is he took his eyes off the prize. And when he took his eyes off the goal, that young man who was an Olympian from Great Britain, he's charging with everything he's got. He's charging with everything he's got. And he nudged forward at the end. And by 9/100ths of a second, he beat Ben Payne because Ben took his eyes off the prize. If you and I aren't careful, there are situations in life where we may be like Brother Ben there. And God's trying to encourage us tonight. Keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes on the target. Go with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to share tonight mainly from New American Standard, but also from the Living Bible tonight. We'll share from both versions. But Hebrews 12, particularly those first three verses in Hebrews 12, first from the New American Standard, if you will. How many thank God for the word tonight? Amen. How many came ready to mix the word with faith? Yes. Now, Hebrews tells us that for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. How many know when you hear the word of God, you've got to mix it with faith for the word to work in your life tonight, for this word that you're going to hear tonight? How many know God's word is anointed by itself? God's word doesn't need any help. His word's already packed with anointing. His word is packed with power. The Bible says the word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing. So God's word is full of power, full of life. This is no dead, ordinary, dried up, outdated book we're reading from. This is the holy, living word of God that's got the power to save our lives. It's got the power to change bodies and heal people. Got the power to deliver whatever ailment you have. God's word's got the power. But we've got to mix the word with faith. And so I encourage you, as you hear the word tonight, don't just listen to the word, but hear it and mix it with faith. And then God will be looking to do something in your life. Amen? Praise God. Hebrews 12, verse 1, New American Standard. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I want to read those same three verses, if you don't mind, from the Living Bible as well. Listen to it from the Living Bible. Those same three verses, Hebrews 12. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith watching us from the grandstands, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. And now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. If you want to keep from becoming faint-hearted and weary, think about his patience as sinful men did such terrible things to him. You know, the Bible has a lot to say, obviously, about the importance of faith. And the Bible also has a lot to say about the importance of faith and patience. Now, faith has to be combined, we know, with several things for it to work right. We know this, faith has to be combined with love. Faith won't work without love. Isn't that right? Galatians 5, 6, we have to mix our faith with love if it's going to work right. But there's another element of faith that's very, very important to you and I. And I don't know what you may be going through tonight. You may not be going through anything. Praise God. I pray you're not going through a thing. But if you are going through something, if you are going through something, the way you're going to get through it is with faith and patience. And if you're not going through anything, you need to be building up your faith and building up your patience, because something will be coming to you sooner or later. We live in a fallen world. And that's not a negative confession, but we live in a fallen world, and it just seems that negative things try to come our way if we're not careful. How many know that? Somebody said, I don't know that. Then you just got born again not long ago. Just keep living for Christ. That's all I'd say. Keep living for the Lord. But the Bible says here, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, there's a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And somebody might be asking, what kind of cloud is it? There's a cloud. Somebody said, maybe it's the iCloud. The iCloud, they're looking at, they're spying on us. They're spying on us through the phones and stuff. No, we ain't talking about that. The Bible's not talking about the iCloud. No. But there is a cloud. Living Bible said they're in like a grandstand of men and women of faith who came against obstacles, who came against storms of life, who came against hindrances. And they overcame those obstacles. They overcame those storms. They overcame every hindrance using faith and patience. And tonight, as you're going through something, you may be going through something, but faith and patience is your answer. We particularly want to talk about patience tonight, because it's so very important that that we demonstrate patience when we go through things. And you know, I like it here. The Bible says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And you know, it's important. Sometimes, you know, you hear in our culture today, our modern compromising culture today, people try to teach it's not important how we live, but it is important how we live. And living for God is critically important. And you know, what saves us is faith in Jesus, faith in the work that Jesus did on the cross. Our faith is what saves us, but our life ought to reflect our gratitude and ought to reflect our worthiness of what Christ has done. I wish I had an amen. It matters how we live. And the Bible says that sin is a trap, it's a snare. It'll catch us and entangle us. It'll keep us from running the race that God has laid out before us to run. And you know, it's one thing, my brother and sister, to begin to run a race. It's another thing to finish the race correctly. As we saw, the young man there, the American Ben, he started that race. He dominated that whole 10K race in Atlanta on the 4th of July. He dominated the whole race. There was no question. The man dominated the whole race. He started strong. But you know what his problem was? He did not finish strong. And there's a lot of believers sometimes today, they started out strong like you fired them out of a gun. But how many know God expects us not just to start strong, he expects you and I to finish strong. I was having an eye exam one year, and my optometrist, you know, she's real methodical as they should be, and real, you know, she has always got the, seems like the latest instruments and things. She seems like every time I go, she's got some new instrument. And anyway, I went this one time and she said, oh, I got a brand new thing. I want you to put your chin right there. And she said, I'm going to turn on this globe. And this thing was like this big white globe. And my chin was right in the middle of it. And she said, I'm going to turn it on and a red cross is going to come right in the middle of it. And she said, no matter what, she said, what I'm really doing is testing your peripheral vision. And she said, I'm going to turn on the machine and you're going to see a red cross light up. And she said, no matter what you see around you, Bill, keep your eyes on the cross. And you can imagine, the Lord spoke to me right then. She said, keep your eyes on that cross. And then she lit up all kinds of distractions. They were up here, they were down here. And she said, you know, you press this button when you see the distraction, you press the button. She would hit the interference and I'd see it there. But I kept my eyes on the cross. I could see it was there. And out of my peripheral vision, I knew it was there. But I kept my eyes on the cross. And that's how we have to be in this Christian life. There may be things and distractions going on around you, but God expects you and I to keep our eyes on the cross. And so the Bible says, lay aside every encumbrance, every sin that so easily entangles us, and run with endurance or with patience the race that has been set before us. And the Bible tells us how to do it. Verse 2 there, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's the key to it all. Now, the word fixing there, fixing our eyes on Jesus, Living Bible uses the word keeping our eyes on Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's one thing to put our eyes upon the Lord. It's a whole nother thing to keep our eyes on Jesus. And I tell you, we need patience. If we're going to keep our eyes on the Lord, fixing our eyes, fixing our gaze on the Lord, we've got to have patience to do that. And I tell you why, because of circumstances, you know, whatever you may be going through, if you're going to get through it, you're going to have to exercise patience and you're going to have to exercise faith. Isn't that right? You're going to have to have faith, but you're going to have patience with that faith. Amen. Somebody said, I'm believing God for a change in my body. Well, if you're believing God for a change in your body, you know what? That's going to take faith in God's word. It's also going to take patience. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Because sometimes in this life, things in this natural realm don't manifest always instantly. Thank God when they do. Thank God for those times of instant manifestation. But whether you had an instant manifestation or whether it took some time in this natural realm for what you're believing for to come to pass, listen, it doesn't matter whether it takes time for you to receive it or whether you received it instantly. Our faith shouldn't change. Our faith should be the same. So I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Bible said faith and patience over in Hebrews 6:12. It says there it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. Going to take faith and patience. Somebody said, I'm waiting for something to change in my body. Going to take faith and patience. Now, if there's something that happens, as I say, thank God. When something happens, faith is always now. And I believe faith is always instantaneous. Faith is always now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, Hebrews 11:6. So faith is always now. We believe right now. But we live in a natural realm. And there may be a span of time between the time that we've entered into faith, having the title deed for what we're believing for. There may be a span of time between the time that we take hold of that title deed, we take hold of what it is we're believing for right then. But if there's a manifestation that takes time, it's going to take patience to get to wait that out and to stay in faith. So I wish I had a bigger amen. Amen. I remember years ago being in class and Brother Keith Moore, he was teaching our class and Keith said that there was a time he was believing God for something. Said he was believing God for an automobile. And I remember he said that, you know, he had directed a certain time. He had told God, you know, there was a certain time, a certain date, a certain time, and he wanted that car by that time. And he was believing God. And said he was believing God and believe he said he wanted a Buick Riviera. And I was ushering back then. In those days, I was ushering. And Keith, he said in class, he said, well, the day came that he had set as the time when God had to come through with the car. And he said the day came and the car didn't come, and the night passed and the car didn't come, and the day and night came, no car. And he said to us, he said, then I let go of my faith. I stopped believing like I was. And he said, but sometime later the Lord told him, if you had stayed in, even though it didn't come when you were expecting it, if you had stayed in faith. So you started out in faith, but if you had stayed in faith, then that was just around the corner. What you were believing for was just around the corner. If our friend running in that 10K race on the 4th of July, if he had stayed in stride, kept his eyes on what the goal was to cross that line. And so Keith said when the Lord spoke that to him, then he entered back into faith on it. He said, I got back into faith on that thing. And I didn't try to put God in a box. Just knew that I had received, he said, and just trusted the Lord. Entered into patience. Then I was ushering the night he pulled up in that Buick Riviera. Guy had to get his door. He was showing us the button, push button, this and that, you know. But sometimes we give up on our faith too quickly. We get disappointed. Something discourages us. Something distracts us. And we get our eyes off of Jesus. And if we take our eyes off of Jesus, then our faith is going to waver. And I'll tell you why it's hard sometimes to keep our eyes on the Lord. It's hard sometimes. You have to focus. You have to focus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, because circumstances will make you keep your eyes on the Lord. You ever been there? Circumstances can get you. If you're not careful, circumstances can get your eyes right off the Lord. I remember the early 90s. I'm working in management for FedEx. Things going well. I'm frontline manager, grade level 25. I'm trying to get to grade level 28, senior manager. And, through a series of circumstances and events, too long to go into, you know most of the stories anyway, but I had kind of a running, if you will. My immediate boss, he was brand new, and he had two new supervisors that he bought from Dallas with him. They were brand new. I'd been working there as a manager 5 years by then. Now, they're brand new to management, and then also they're brand new to Tulsa, and all of them are, they just got here, and then they're, my boss got mad at me. He asked me to do some things I thought would compromise my integrity. And as a result, I won't go into all that, but I said very respectfully that I couldn't do that, what he wanted me to do. And then there was another issue that he wanted me to, Lorena was getting ready to have John Paul. And so that's 1997. Lorena's getting ready to have John Paul. Her mama had gone home to be with the Lord, and I had promised her I was going to spend 2 weeks. Nobody at FedEx ever took 2 weeks off. And I promised her I'd take 2 weeks off, be with her and the baby. And got it approved. At that time, we didn't have a boss. And so I went to the managing director, and he said, oh, Bill, you're working hard. He said, sure, man, you can take the 2 weeks. He signed off on it before I ever got my new boss. And long story short, once my new boss found out that I was going to have 2 weeks off, well, that day, June the 5th, was approaching. And he said, no, I can't give you 2 weeks off. I'll give you 1 week. And I explained, and long story short, he was just upset with me over that. We're talking about circumstances can get you to take your eyes off of Jesus if you're not careful. But if you'll have faith and patience, oh, you'll be able to keep your eyes on the Lord, and he'll bring you straight through to the victory. You say, what happened? Well, I went on and took the 2 weeks, and during that time, several employees called me at home, just said, man, this new guy, he's trying to fire you. Interviewed every one of your work group members. Asked them what you're doing wrong. Ask them, tell me the bad things that he's done. He said, about three different people called me. They said, we had nothing to say but glowing things about you, but we can tell he's fishing. He's trying to get you. We just want to warn you. I said, oh, that's all right. I got some, thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Thank you for thinking of me. But I got some inside information. You say, what was your inside information? I'm going to follow the words of the book. And I know if you'll do right, if you'll do the right thing, God will bless you. God will give you favor if you'll keep your integrity in the midst of adversity. I wish I had an amen in here. And sometimes people try to get you to compromise in the most tough circumstances and situations. People will try to get you to compromise your integrity. But one of the things I came to tell you tonight, listen, if you'll hold on to your integrity and do what's right, and remember that God himself is watching you. Now, they may treat you wrong, they may do you wrong, but God, he'll bring you through. And I never forget, after I took the vacation, then when I came back, they had a note in my mail slot, a job change application form, and someone had anonymously put in my mail slot that there was a job, same grade, grade level 25, at the station that was open 10 miles down the road. And so someone's anonymously suggesting that I leave that station and go on down the road. And that made me mad. I got home mad that night. But good news, that was the night when we were fasting and praying. And I got home and I had, like, almost in an inner office envelope, I had that anonymous job change form. And I was mad and been. You talk about bullheaded that night with that. I was bullheaded with it because I was saying to myself, I'm not going nowhere. If I have to get an attorney, I ain't going nowhere. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm going to stand my ground. I ain't going nowhere. I'm not going to let them think that they pushed me out. I've been taking care of the people and doing right. I ain't going nowhere. And I was carrying that when I came through the door. And so Lorena asked me, well, you want to pray about it? I said, I don't need to pray about it. Because I ain't going nowhere. I ain't leaving. I ain't going nowhere. And she said, well, do you think we should pray? I said, I don't need to pray about it. I already tell you, I ain't going nowhere. And I meant that thing. I ain't going nowhere. And I was willing to do whatever it was going to take. If it was going to be on, it was just going to be on. Common sense with a little bit of wisdom would have it. I said, well, okay, I don't mind praying. Let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Let's make it the first order of prayer. Make it the first order of prayer. And I'm telling you God's honest truth. I'm holding that thing, and I mean, I'm stubborn in my mind. I ain't going nowhere. I know God don't want me to go nowhere. God couldn't want me to go nowhere. God don't want me to go nowhere. God is behind me. God is backing me up. And so we prayed. I had the thing in my hand. I said, now, Father, I'm willing to do whatever you say. And if you want me to go, and I'm telling, before I could get the rest of the sentence out of my mouth, peace dropped down in my spirit. I mean, like you dropped a 10-pound weight down. I mean, peace just instantly dropped in me. I'll never forget that, because my mind instantly went to tilt. Because I knew it was God, and I knew God was telling me to go. And I didn't want to go. And I got circumstances and people helping me keep my eyes off of Jesus. Nobody can make you take your eyes off Jesus. It's a choice we make. What I'm saying is, don't let circumstances get you to take your eyes off of Jesus. Just because you got a challenge in front of you, that's not a good enough excuse for you to take your eyes off the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. How are you going to do that? Through his word is one key way. Keep your head in the book. And I knew the Lord was telling me to go, and so I did it. I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. I changed just real quick, just like you flipped the switch. I changed instantly. I'll go. Didn't want to go. Did not want to go. My head is still going tilt, but I know better than to override what he's telling me here. I said, somebody could go home right now and say, well, it was good to be at church tonight. Somebody need that lesson right now. Don't override what he's telling you. When there's a difference between your head and a difference between your heart, you better go with your heart. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Amen. Your head will mislead you, but your heart will bring you to the perfect will of God every single time. And when we walk in his will, we automatically get the blessing. We don't have to go around begging God for his blessing. When we're walking in his will, his blessing is on his will. And so I got out of there. Took the job down the street, 10 miles down the road. Had to pack up all my books. I'm going to have to learn a new customer base. I know all the customers. I know all the customers there in that area for 5 years. I know all the employees. Know all those employees. I know all the routes. I'm going to have to learn new customer base, new routes, new employees, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to have to pack my office. I've been in that office 5 years. But I did it. Got over there, the company said, with your experience, there's no experienced managers where you're going. So they gave me a $2,500 signing bonus. And it wasn't long before my boss at the new place was just very nice, super nice, super nice. But it wasn't long before she was telling me, she said, I got a little problem in Stillwater, Oklahoma. I want to know if you'll go up there for a week. I said, oh, no problem. I'll run up there. She said, just run the place for a week. Come home every night or you can stay at a hotel, whatever. I said, no, I'm coming. So I just went up there every day, drove up there every day, leave the house about 4:30, and then get home about 6:30 at night. At the end of the week, she came to me and said, I got a bigger problem. She said, the manager was on vacation when you went up there that week, but when he came back, I fired him. I was like, oh, Lord. Well, I see where you're going, but I ain't trying to go to no Stillwater, Oklahoma. I sure ain't trying to do that. What are you talking about? Circumstances, if you're not careful, can get you to get your eyes off Jesus. But the Bible said, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so she asked me, and oh, man, I didn't want to do that. And I told her, I said, you know, my boys have ball games and my wife and I don't want to be away from my family. She said, you could just stay, just expense everything you want. I don't want to stay there. I'm coming home every night. And so she did say this, to her credit, she's in heaven now, Renee, but she did say this. She said, look, Bill, if you'll go up there for me, run the state, it's going to take me 3 months to get a manager in there. Time I post the job, get somebody interviewed, get them trained, get them here to Stillwater, it's going to take 3 months. She said, but if you'll go up there, what I'll do is I'll run up there every Friday and give you a long weekend. You can have every Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and you just go up there Monday through Thursday. Would you do that? I said, oh, okay, I'll do that. We had a deal. Headed up to Stillwater. Flying down there. You know, between here and Stillwater, there's like nothing out there. I mean, it's like so flat. Yeah, you ever heard the road to Stillwater? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And don't try it at night or early in the morning. Because it's pitch black. And and the speed limit, you can get up, the speed limit's like 75 most of the way up there. So, you know, if you run even 5 miles over the speed limit. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. But I'm going up there. You know, I'm flying, man. I got that Volvo flying, getting up there. You know, you got to leave the house at 4:30 to get up there and run the sort. And man, flat tire in the rain. Flat tire in the rain. Now, me and the Lord had a discussion that day. But I was talking like the children of Israel. Yeah, read in Exodus 17, around verse 2 through 4. They came out, you know, God brought them across the Red Sea. They wanted water, but they had no patience. They had faith for a minute, but no patience to go with it. And they was ready to stone Moses and everything else. And I tell you, that car flat. And I got out that car and I thought, oh, and you know, there's no parts of that road to Stillwater, there's no shoulder. So it's like you're right on the edge of the road, and that's like a truck route coming through there. And let me tell you, when it's still dark outside and it's raining and them trucks is whizzing by you, and it was on the driver's side rear, and I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm saying, Lord, now this ain't right. What did I do? What did I do? I didn't do anything. I've got nothing but good reviews. I got nothing at the other station but people who love me. I didn't do anything. I'm out here on the side of the road in the rain having to change a flat tire. And you know how a car is, if you've never changed a tire in a car and the lug nuts are especially tight, I had never changed a tire in that Volvo. Trying to break the lug nuts free, I mean, I'm complaining. Until the Holy Spirit spoke up on the inside of me while I'm down there at that tire. And I felt this from the Lord. Bill, if you'll stop complaining, if you'll get your eyes back on me, I'm actually trying to do something good for you. What you think is bad, I'm trying to do something good for you. What people have intended to harm you, I'm trying to bring something good to you. And if you'll get your eyes back on me, it won't be long when I will bring you through to the victory. And I repented of my sins right there at that tire. I told the Lord I was sorry for grumbling. Told him I was sorry for complaining. Told him I was sorry for getting my eyes off of him. Letting the circumstances dictate my reaction to things. And too often we let circumstances determine our result. I wish I had a bigger amen. It ain't right. But we ought to be like a thermostat. We ought to set what our response is going to be. And then let the word of God cause all the things to happen right. Amen. Don't let circumstances dictate how you respond. Somebody said, well, they didn't talk to me right. You ain't going to talk to me. And you going to talk to me like that? I'm going to talk to you like that. Nah, you letting circumstances dictate how you govern your behavior. But you can never stay in faith like that. What will happen is you get your eyes off Jesus. Remember when Peter did it? What did he have to do? Start to sing. It's faith and patience. And I realized it was going to take some faith. I'm sitting behind that wheel wanting to be a senior manager. I'm out there in the rain changing a tire. But you know what? I changed my attitude. I repented for having such a terrible, rotten attitude and complaining and grumbling and getting my eyes off of Jesus. Asked the Lord to forgive me. Got that tire changed. Was wet. Got in the car. Drove to Stillwater wet. Got in there. They said, what happened to you? Small potatoes. Say, what happened? Year after that, got promoted to senior management. Year after that, was in Houston, Texas, at a senior manager meeting, 250 senior managers. I just won senior manager of the year. I'm standing in line. They just called my name. All 250 senior managers, they're applauding. The senior VP, Diamond, he hands me a big old marble trophy and a big fat check, and they're applauding, and it was almost surreal. Know what I was thinking about? Changing that tire. And how the Lord told me that if I keep my eyes on him. Other people did stuff to me. He's my senior manager. Oh, man, when I was operations manager. But let me tell you this. The Lord, if you keep your eyes on me, I'll bring you out. I'll bring you through. And as I stood there, I thought of the adversity I'd been through and the things that God had brought me through, but the things that I had to put my eyes back on Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight, if something has distracted you, some person, some circumstance, some situation has come against you and has distracted you, tonight is your time to get your eyes back on Jesus. God is not done with you, and what people intend to harm you, like Joseph, Genesis 50, verse 20. Listen, God's going to turn around what somebody intended for ill, what somebody intended to hurt you. God's going to turn around for your good if you can keep your eyes on him. Let's pray. Father, we have endeavored in this short time that we've had to share these things from your word. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down victoriously at the right hand of God. Father, help your people tonight. Whatever the need is, help them to get their eyes on you. Help them to focus on what you're saying through the word. Help them to look to you in every circumstance, in every situation. And we'll be careful, Lord, ever mindful. Give you the praise, give you the glory as you bring us through again and again so we demonstrate faith and patience in you. As you're here tonight, our prayer workers are here and you may need something to be prayed about. The Holy Spirit's tugging at you. He's showing you something or reminding you something. And if you need prayer, don't go that way. Just get up and come down here. You know how we do by now. Ladies, come over here. Guys, come over here. And you won't leave like you came. We're so glad you came tonight. And whatever you're facing, we just encourage you. Get in the book. And through what you see and what you say and even what you sing, you can keep your eyes on Jesus. See with the eyes of your spirit. See through the word of God. Keep your confession strong and sing strong Bible songs. Yeah. Did we have any first-time guests tonight? Brother Marvin, did we have any first-time guests here? We did. We're going to bless you just like Brother Marvin said. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Mrs. Hagen, we want to give you a good gift. It's an 8-track tape. No, it's not. It's a really good gift. I'm just kidding. It's a really good gift. We want to bless you just for coming. We want to thank you. Don't we appreciate them coming? Can we clap for them one more time? If you'll just go with them real quick. They're going to take you to a place and give that to you. They're not going to hold you. They're just going to give you the gift on behalf of our pastors and our church family. And we just want, you know, come on back Sunday. Pastor will be teaching and preaching. And you come on back and you'll hear the word of God from our pastor. You'll be blessed. So if all hearts and minds are clear, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author, the finisher of your faith. He's our leader, our instructor. All right, stand on your feet. Lift one hand to the Lord before we go. Unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, protect us all till we see each other again. Guard everybody going home now. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it for tonight, my friend. Remember, if you are in need of prayer, you should be coming forward. And if not, stick around, fellowship, say hey to somebody. Keep your eyes on the Lord. God bless you.